Good morning.
Good morning, sir. Before we get started, what is your name, sir?
My name is Stephen Robertson.
Okay, hold on. The Honorable Dale Rittenhouse is going to conduct your hearing, so just give her a chance to get a little paperwork done, and she'll be right with you, sir.
All right, no problem, sir. Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Robertson, could you please start by stating your full name and your ADC number for the record?
Stephen Vincent Robertson, 01-1969.
Thank you, sir. You're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for a revocation hearing concerning the one allegation that's on your warrant. You were notified about this hearing on November 20th, and you signed a form that day. Do you remember signing that?
Yes, ma'am,
I have. On that form, there's a list of your hearing rights, and one of your rights is that you could hire an attorney to represent you, or you can represent yourself. So which is it, sir? Did you hire an attorney, or will you represent yourself today?
Represent myself.
Okay, thank you, sir. I'd like to introduce you to the board. If you look on the screen to your right, my left, down that way, at the very end is the Honorable Louis Quinones. Next to him, the Honorable David Neal. Next to me here in the middle is our board chairman, the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright. On the other side of me here is the Honorable Michael Johnson, and my name is Gail Rittenhouse. I'll conduct your hearing. We also have in the room with us the Honorable Mr. Turner, and you can see Mr. Turner now. He is with the Department of Corrections, and he'll represent the department and your parole officer in the hearing today. And we also have in the room with us today Senior Parole Officer Settles, who's going to give us some testimony. Okay, so then I need to swear the three of you in then, Mr. Robertson, Mr. Settles, and Mr. Turner. Do you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God, and do you so affirm? Mr. Robertson?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. Mr. Turner?
I do.
And Mr. Settles?
I do.
Thank you. Okay, Mr. Robertson, your hearing will be conducted in two phases, with phase one to determine if you violated the terms and conditions of community supervision, and then phase two to determine if that supervision should be reinstated or revoked. So, Mr. Robertson, I'll read this allegation to you, and I'll need you to respond whether it's true or false, sir.
Okay.
So we'll start phase one. The one and only allegation is that you were in violation of condition 14H, as demonstrated by your removal of a GPS monitoring device, which is a class 4 felony, to interfere with, bypass, or remove the electronic monitoring device in violation of Arizona Revised Statute 13-3725 on October 23rd, 2018. Mr. Robertson, is that true or false?
That's true, ma'am.
Okay, thank you, sir. Based on Mr. Robertson's admission, then, I move to find him delinquent as he violated the terms and conditions of community supervision and may have lapsed or have lapsed into criminal ways or company.
Second.
Agreed.
Okay, motion by myself. Seconded Mr. Johnson. Agreed. Dr. Wright, Mr. Neal, Mr. Quinones. Okay, Mr. Robertson, back to you. We'll go to phase two of your hearing. Before we do that, though, I'm going to ask Mr. Turner to give us all some background information. So just stay on the phone. We'll be right back to ask you some questions and talk with you more in just a minute.
Okay.
Okay, thank you, sir. Mr. Turner.
Yes, ma'am. Robertson was released from ADC custody on 9-19-2018 and arrested on 10-23-2018 by ADC. No new charges are noted. He is returned back to ABC on 10-23-2018 with a CSED at 8-20-2019, zero abscondes. Current conviction, 2012, theft means of transportation, 6 years, 6 months. Prior convictions, 2000, theft means of transportation, 3 years, 6 months. 2001, theft means of transportation, 3 years, 6 months. 2012, commitment C, count one, add, name change, sex offender, 2 years, 6 months. 2012, commitment D, count one, aggravated assault, 2 years and 3 months. This is his third term in ADC with a CUIR score of 3.3. Mental health score of 3, substance abuse score is not, they did not do one. There's no STG information noted. Prior terms of supervision, 2007, TIS release, absconded for 29 days. Arrested, revoked by BOEC. Disciplinary is significant and lengthy, but tampering with a security device, fighting any sex act, disorderly conduct, physical assault, possession, manufacturing of a weapon, escape, criminal damage, promoting prison contraband, and threat with harm noted. After his return to custody, he was found guilty of a major attempt, a violation for attempting to assault staff. Other arrest, 1989, forgery, Virginia, guilty, other sanctions. 1992, sexual conduct with a minor, Minnesota, felony conviction, probation. 1993, unlawful use of means of transportation, Texas, felony conviction, state prison. 2008, impersonating a peace officer, Arizona, federal prison. He has a GB score of G3, V5. He is a level 3 sex offender that is registrable, notifiable, and SVP reviewable.
Thank you, Mr. Turner. Okay, Mr. Robertson. It looks like you were released homeless and referred to the FEMA reentry centers. Did you stay there the whole time that you were out?
Yes, ma'am, I did.
Okay, FEMA reentry center. Okay, and let me see. It looks like you were having some problems that required you to go to the ER.
Yeah, we're having problems with chest pains. And shortness of breath, a couple times I went to the ER, and then on this last day, I was hospitalized while they did a procedure on me in the hospital. When I got out of the hospital, my leg was itching, and I pulled the leg monitor off my leg, but as soon as it happened, I immediately called the parole officer, told Mr. Settles, I pulled the GPS monitor off, and he came and he arrested me and he took me back to custody because he said I pulled the leg monitor off, which I did. I pulled the leg monitor off.
So you said your leg was itching. Your leg was itching? Uh-huh. Your leg was itching?
I just barely got out of the hospital. I just had a procedure done after 5 days, a cath lab done on my heart. And when I got out of the hospital, the leg was itching. I accidentally pulled the monitor off. As soon as I did, I contacted Mr. Settles.
Okay.
And
yes.
I told them I pulled the leg monitor off, and he said, stay put, I'm going to come, I'm not going to arrest you, I'm going to take you back to the halfway house, and we put up the ankle monitor on. But he didn't do that. He took me to Wilmot and arrested me.
Well, sir, our experience or my knowledge of those monitors is that they're not easy to just pull off. Can you tell us how you pulled it off?
I pulled it off with force, ma'am.
Okay, sir. Thank you. Let's see. What else was I going to ask you? You were not working, sir. You were at the Pima Reentry Center.
Ma'am, I was attempting to find work, but it's very difficult because when you go to apply to employers and you have to give a notification that you're a sex offender,
right,
and that you're in custody,
yes,
that you're in custody, it's very, very hard to get a job.
Well, I understand.
But I was trying very hard to get employment. I was pretty close to getting employment.
Okay, sir. Can you tell me what happened in this most recent discipline that occurred in the prison? Where you had an attempted assault on staff? What was going on there?
I was in a wheelchair. I just came back from the hospital. They just arrested me, and I was having chest pains. The CO said I lunged at him. I didn't lunge at him, ma'am. I was having a heart problem. I thought I was having a heart attack. So when I got up, I fell to the ground. He thought I was trying to lunge at him and trying to hurt him, but I wasn't trying to hurt anybody, ma'am.
Has your heart problem been resolved with the treatment at the hospital?
Yes, ma'am. I had a cath lab, and they're supposed to repair a stent. They repaired the stent, and my medical stuff is good. So now I'm hoping that I get released and go back out to try to get a job and continue trying to get myself together. I got 8 months.
Okay, sir. I'm going to see if my fellow board members have any questions for you. Mr. Johnson has a question.
You did contact your PO when you took off the monitor, but it says that you stated to your PO, I'm gone, I'm on the run, I can't do this parole thing anymore.
No, but I didn't, I would have said that to him, but I didn't run. I wasn't on the run, and I did call him for assistance immediately.
Okay.
The minute I took that monitor off, sir,
yes.
And I knew I was wrong, I contacted him. Now, I might have said something that I might have said to him, yeah, I was on the run, I can't do this anymore. But I called him right away, and he came and got me right away. I didn't run, I didn't understand, I didn't do anything. I was just having an emotional problem. And I just barely got out of the hospital. I was only out of the hospital 10 minutes when I called him. And the whole time that I was in the hospital for 5 days, I made contact with them every day to let them know I was in the hospital and what was going on with me.
Okay, thank you, sir.
I might have said that to you, sir. I might have said that out of anger, that I didn't go anywhere because I did make contact with them immediately.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Turner, you had some.
Yes, I was going to bring that up, but also the disciplinary that was received, the information that I'm looking at states that he attempted to assault a medical staff member while restrained and was placed on the ground with the least amount of force necessary by the officer.
Ain't true. That's not true.
There's no other info that.
There's nothing after that. It just states that he attempted to assault CNA Gearland while restrained, and Officer Galvin intervened and placed inmate Robertson 160697 on the ground with the least amount of force necessary to control the situation.
Okay, thank you, sir. Any other questions by board members? Mr. Robertson, I'm gonna ask Mr. Settles to give us some testimony now. If you'd just come right up here to this, because we're recording, and this will catch you. And please just start by stating your full name. Or just your name. You don't need your full name.
Victor Settles.
Thank you. And what would you like to tell the board?
Let me just add to this statement where he says he did call right away. But his initial statements to me were, as we just stated, that he's on the run, can't do this parole thing anymore. And I stayed on the phone with him the whole time. From the time I left the PRC to the hospital, I stayed on the phone with him trying to convince him not to run, that it would only complicate things. And I believe that's the one as well. He stated that he wanted me to stay on the phone with him so that way he wouldn't do anything stupid. I'm not sure the exact word used, but so that he didn't run away. And on the ankle monitor itself, the device, the pin tray, has these four teeth on there where it shows he actually physically pulled the strap out of the monitor.
Okay, sir. Any questions for board members?
Yes,
sir. Dr. Reagan's question.
Look, we just don't have, there are some others, but we don't have that many who are able to just pull that pin or whatever it is out and pull that monitoring device, that GPS is what I call it, to pull it off. So he must be mighty strong. I'm just guessing. I can't figure that one out, sir.
It only takes about 60 pounds of pressure to remove that. So it takes some time to do, but it can be done.
And where was he when that happened? He was at the hospital?
He was at the hospital, yes.
And he just pulled it off and...
Well, I wasn't there, but he did call me. We received the violation from the attempted website,
right,
which is the ankle monitoring device company. As we were looking to see where he was at, he did call. I did speak to him, and that's when he made those comments to me about being on the run. He can't do his pros anymore. And I tried to convince him to not run. It would complicate things. And at that time, I was gearing up to go into the field to his location. I did tell him that I was not going to arrest him. But I did lie to him because I knew I was going to arrest him based on the statements he made to me initially, that he was on the run and he couldn't do his pros anymore.
How did he react when you showed up, sir?
He stood there, had the ankle monitor in his hand, and then he went to me. He was calm. When I looked at the ankle monitor and I saw the prime marks from the ankle monitor, that's when I knew that he did pull it out. As a matter of fact, when I was speaking to him at first on the phone, he said it just fell off, that it just came off. So, but when I got there to the hospital, that's when I could see the prime marks on the rubber strap, and that shows that he did actually have to use force to pull it out.
Thank you, Senior Officer Sons. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Any other questions? Thank you, sir.
Have you had any other problems with him other than?
Problems? behavior-wise, you know, as far as employment goes, it is more difficult for someone with a sex offense to gain employment, but they can gain employment. I supervise the electronic monitoring unit in Tucson, and that unit itself, we have sex offenders, homeless, anybody in DCAC, and I believe our employment rate at last time was about 70%. So, and that's a high number for that caseload. So it is possible for someone with a sex offense to go out there and get employment.
So is it rare if someone take their monitor off and then call you and say, I took the monitor fell off, or I took it off, and wait for you to come there and pick them up?
Yes, that has never happened. Usually when they move it intentionally, they're on the run.
But Mr. Robertson,
it's not your time to speak, sir, if you just remain silent.
I'm sorry, ma'am. I'm sorry.
So, is it just standard? Once they take that off, that's it?
In my experience, yes, they're gone. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so do you think that he was actually getting ready to run, or was he just...
Based on the statements he made to me, I do believe he wanted to run, but I think he had a change of heart. After I spoke to him and say it would complicate things, I brought up his mom, so I think in the end he realized that he did wrong. And then, like I said, I was telling him that I was not going to arrest him, I was going to kiss him to another halfway house, so I think that right there was able to convince him to not to run, because he didn't think he was going to be arrested.
So if he was placed in another halfway house, you think he'd be successful? He still has
it. There's different degrees of successful.
All right, you're right. That's a loaded question right there. I'll take that one back. Okay, thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Any other questions for Senior Parole Officer Settles? Thank you. Thank you for coming up today.
Absolutely.
I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay, back to you, Mr. Robertson. We're coming up toward the end of your hearing, but I want to give you the opportunity to make a final statement. There may be things you've thought of while we're talking that you wanted to make sure to tell. Well, just without repeating yourself, if you would.
I told Mr. Settles that day and prior to that day that I had the money on my card to move out of that halfway house and move to another halfway house. And he said to me, do you have the money on that card? And I said, yes, I have the money on the card. But he wouldn't let me transfer halfway houses. Because, like that man to your right just said, if he was in another halfway house, would he be successful? And then he said, well, that's a loaded question. The answer would be, sir, with respect, is yes. If I was in a different halfway house, yes, I would be successful. But yes, I had the money saved up to move.
Mr. Robertson, why would you be successful at the other one and that you were not successful at the one you were at?
Because I feel now, after thinking about what I've done and where I'm at now, I feel that it's well worth it to get out and actually do the right thing and never come back to this place again. I'm ready to be able, I'm hoping today that you guys give me the opportunity to prove that my worthiness of to be able to get out and actually find a job and actually continue my life.
Okay,
I'm going to stay here.
But my question, sir, was why would a different halfway house make a difference?
Because the halfway house is where I was at. I was having problems with other people. And other people wanted me to do things for them that I didn't want to do. And I reported it to staff and to parole. And they told me that if it keeps happening, to let them know. Well, I saved up the money to move. All I want to do is have another chance to be able to prove to you and to parole that I can actually do it.
And you don't think you would have problems at another halfway house, the same type of problems?
No, ma'am, because I have a different mindset now of exactly what I have to do.
Okay.
And I'm asking for that chance.
Okay, sir.
I was wrong, ma'am, I was wrong for pulling the leg monitor off. I was wrong for saying this thing out of anger about I was going to run. But I didn't run. I stayed put. I called him right away. He said he wasn't going to arrest me, but he lied to me and he arrested me. Now I'm back in custody. All I want is another chance to prove myself.
Okay, sir. Hold on just a second. Mr. Turner.
Yes, ma'am. in reference to the money and the other place. On 10/15/2018, there's a chrono note, OMS note, Stacy Fender was in the office. He was questioned to how the job interview at AZ at work went. Johnny had helped him with. He had a job interview at the Native Grill located on Speedway and Country Club. The offender at first said he would not get that job as he had completed the interview. When confronted, he admitted that he did not even try to go. He just assumed he would not get hired. Fender stated he went to visit his father instead, who's disabled. He went to help him, but was at the apartment complex for approximately a half an hour. Fender stated he would like to go to another place. He claimed that he had $800 to be able to go somewhere else. He has not had any employment and has yet provided any paperwork, receipt, bank statements to support his claim.
So Mr. Robertson, did you not interview because you thought that you wouldn't get the job?
I was afraid that I was not going to get that job, man, because I was a sex offender. Now, I've been through two other prior interviews with those people. I thought they were going to hire me, but then after I went back the second time, he said, well, you're a sex offender and you're under parole. I don't think we're going to be interested. Now, I had some interviews from Olive Garden and other places. As soon as I told them that I was a sex offender and I was under parole, they didn't want anything to do with me. And about the money, the money is on the card that they have in my property at the parole house right now. It's on a prepaid card that my mom sent me, $800, to be able to move on.
Okay, sir. All right, thank you, Mr. Robertson. The board's going to go into discussion. We do have discussion in public under the Arizona Open Meeting Law. So just remain on the phone, remain silent, and we'll be back with you in just a moment.
All right,
the board is now in discussion. Mr. Robertson removed his device, his GPS device, and he acknowledges he did it, even though the initial language he used was that it fell off, but as the evidence shows it, he pried it off. What concerns me a bit is that he did abscond in the past on the previous community supervision, absconded for 29 days. And even though he now says he that wasn't what was on his mind, his actions would kind of suggest otherwise. I'm also concerned about his receiving a major infraction since he's been back, and the extent of prior infractions, discipline infractions while he's been in prison. I don't know, it's just a feeling, I guess. I just don't feel like I'm getting the whole story, and I'd be interested to hear if other board members had similar or other comments. Mr. Quinones.
I agree with you, and I think based on everything that I've gathered, I'm just not finding him a suitable candidate for returning to community supervision.
Kind of that minor. All right, I'm going to make a motion then based on information of warrant 2018W3079. Our conversation with Mr. Robertson, information from both Mr. Turner and Mr. Settles of the Department of Corrections. I move to revoke community supervision as Mr. Robertson was delinquent, violated the terms and conditions of supervision, and had lapsed or was about to lapse into criminal ways or company, specifically by deliberately removing his GPS device, which is a Class 4 felony.
Second.
Agree.
I'd like to include that in, too, that he did previously.
And he had previously absconded, exactly. So motion by myself, second, and Mr. Quinones agreed, Dr. White, Mr. Johnson, Mr. Neal. Mr. Robertson, the board has voted unanimously to revoke your community supervision, sir. You can understand with the previous abscond period and your actions at the time.
I abscond on these charges. I didn't abscond in this state, but I absconded.
So you absconded on the previous term of community supervision, which? 2007. You've been out before and absconded. So you've proven your behavior had shown that you understood that and you could have done it. Thank you, sir, for participating in your hearing, and we're showing your release date of August 20th, 2019. It can be noted.
So my dear, are you talking?
Yeah.
All right.
Mr.
As soon as the CO2 comes back.
Robertson will be placed on report. Shall it leave the record on, or?
Yes, with a CO3.
Will leave the record running.
Hopefully, the CO3.
Hopefully, the CO3 will come back.
That was such a productive statement.
That was very crude.
It was. That was kind of one of the worst ones that I've.
That's the worst one I've had, yeah.
Before we get, yes, sir. Good morning, sir. Before we get started, would you ask the CO3 to come back to the phone for us, please?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
This is Four Officer Turner. How are you today? Can you hear me, sir?
Yep, I can.
This is Paul Officer Turner. Can you be better now?
Yes, I can.
Okay, can you put Mr. Robertson on report for me for disrespect to staff?
Will do.
Appreciate it, sir. Can you email me or come back and let me know what time you put him on report?
Okay, will do.
Thank you, sir.
Okay. We're ready for the next one, Lance.